I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm Romantically Challenged. Thank you so much for all your feedback and comments about all the episodes. I really love hearing from you, and I really appreciate that so many listeners are so willing to share their very personal stories with me. Like my guest in this episode, single divorced mother of two, Robin, who emailed me about the podcast and then wanted to tell me a little about her own journey. And I'm so glad she did, and I'm really thrilled that Robin has agreed to join us on the podcast. This will be a familiar story to many. Robin came out of her marriage feeling bruised, shaken, vulnerable, needy. And then after 10 years of what she calls dating hell and hilarity, she's now truly empowered by and grateful for her single life. For Robin, it was a process of disconnecting from the life she had and thought she'd have forever and reconnecting with the new life she was able to create for herself. It's a lovely story, and you know this is a message I love sharing. Here's Robin.
Hello, I'm Robin. I'm a 56-year-old divorced woman. I'm a mum to two very cool kids, and I have a dog daughter called Cherry. I enjoy spending time with my family, my friends, and laughing with my gay husband. I love nature, bushwalks, dancing, driving on hot nights, sitting on my back step staring at the night sky. I love making soap, and I love beautiful lingerie. And I now have my own lingerie business. I was previously married for 17 years and was in a 7-year relationship prior to that. My ideal partner would be a mix of Vince Vaughn, Mark Ruffalo, Ricky Gervais for the gags. So basically a funny, smart, chunky, hot guy with depth and kindness. Where is he? Dating in my 50s has been uninspiring. My life motto would be, life is short, wear the good lingerie.
Okay, Robin, I haven't heard the term chunky for a long time. That is hilarious.
Like a chunky guy. Don't you like a chunky guy?
I don't know that chunky is the term I use. What is it about chunky?
I know, you just sort of feel they're manly and strong and you feel safe. You know, you want to be swept up in those big arms. I've just always really loved solid men. Maybe that's the better word.
No, I love chunky. Let's go with chunky. It's so wonderful to have you on the podcast. I wrote an article about you, and you spoke about your divorce and your decade of dating hell, and then ultimately why dating in your 50s you think is a gift. And I know you've said it felt really powerful to get your story out there. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, look, it was confronting to bare my soul, but it's been beautiful connecting to the women who have contacted me since and who have been through a similar situation. And a few of them have said, look, I'm recently separated and I just hope I can get to that place that you're at now, and you've given me a bit of hope. And, yeah, I mean, that's very humbling and beautiful, and it's just been amazing to chat to these women.
And now you're back to share more.
Yes.
On the podcast, so thank you. You were married for 17 years. Mm. Can you talk about how you eventually reached that end point?
We, I think, were unconsciously uncoupling for many years. We had a pretty good life, and then we had small children. We moved overseas, and things just started to unravel. We just weren't connecting. The communication was pretty poor, but we just coasted along because the alternative seemed so scary. I think a lot of couples do that, you know, especially with kids. And eventually, I remember it was New Year's Day. After dinner, we were watching Taggart, as you do as a married couple. And I looked over him at his face, and he just looked so flat. And I said, what's going on? And he hit the pause button on the remote and said, I think we just need to go our separate way. So there was sadness and relief and exhilaration all in one, because it had been brewing for years, but we just weren't addressing the elephant in the room.
Was there something in that specific episode of Taggart that prompted him in that moment to say, I'm done now?
Do you know what the funny thing was? We had a 15-minute conversation and I just went off to bed and had a bit of a cry, and he watched the end of the episode. So, yes, he really loved Taggart.
Does he still
watch it? I've never watched an episode since, I have to say, thank God.
Oh.
But, look, you know, Taggart or no Taggart, we would have broken up, and it was hard, it's brutal, but I wouldn't be here now, obviously, doing what I absolutely love. So I am grateful for the breakdown of our marriage.
It's interesting. I learn something new from every guest, and I love hearing people's stories. And Taggart or no Taggart, we would have broken up anyway. That is something that's new to this podcast.
That's the takeaway from this chat.
When you first started dating after your divorce, I know you said to me in the article you were so naive.
Mm-hmm. It's very different. I was in my late 40s and, you know, I was excited. I'd been let out of a cage. I was juiced up and ready to go. And I thought, you know, I'm still a catch. I'm not bad looking. I've kept myself in good shape and I'm interesting and blah, blah, blah. And I just, you know, met that many duds. I actually had a very good experience to begin with. I did go on a dating site and I met a guy, and I did something I would never do now, ever, and that is, after a very short conversation, I invited him up to my house that night. And we spent the night together and it was amazing. We were lovers for a year. It was loose, but it's what I needed, and I really got my mojo back. It's not for every woman, I know, but that's what I needed to get back into the game.
So despite all of the challenges of modern dating, which we've all experienced, and the trauma of divorce, I know you've also mentioned to me that on the upside you had a bit of a sexual awakening.
I did.
Tell me about that. That sounded like fun.
Oh, God. I mean, I just was up for everything because I had been in a pretty sexless marriage and I really needed it, and I encourage women to do that. Like I said, it brought me back to life, and we shouldn't deny that part of ourselves. Even though I was pushing 50, I mean, I'm 56 now, I'm still up for all of that.
So what was it? Was it the thrill of just having sex with someone new after so long with one person, or was it something more, a deeper sense of awakening within yourself?
It was having, it is a thrill to have sex with someone new and to kiss someone new. But I felt in my marriage that I was underdeveloped in that sense. The intimacy just wasn't there, especially later. I knew that we were done in that department. I just had all this exploration that I needed to do. So I gave myself permission to do that as soon as I was a free woman. And it was really good, really, really good.
To be so intimate with someone new would be really terrifying for a lot of people who have been, you know, in one marriage or one relationship for a very long time with the one person. Just the thought of somebody else seeing you naked or touching your body can be terrifying.
That's why you should do it. You've got to do that thing that scares you. It really frees you up. I really, really, really recommend it. In that sexual sense and in other ways in life too. You've really got to do that thing that scares you to death.
Was there something about the fact that you had been a mother and you'd been in mum mode and wife mode and you kind of got stuck in that role that you no longer saw yourself as a sexual being?
Yeah, for sure. I just, you know, it brought me back to my femininity and it released my inner queen, if you like. It's like, in my marriage, I wore rubbish lingerie. I just didn't even think I deserved it. You know, there were way more other important things to put money into. And that's the whole thing about divorcing and experimenting and finding yourself. And I gave myself permission to wear beautiful lingerie and to try new things. And, yeah, it's the freedom and the permission to do that. It's an act of self-love.
Eventually, I know you started to crave more of an emotional connection as well, not just the physical. And I know you said to me in the article that's where you came unstuck.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I went through a period of attracting bad men for me, and it really wasn't their fault because I was broken. And I really, if I analyze it, I wanted to be saved. And everything's a magnet. So I was attracting guys that were broken too, and they could see that I was needy and wanting to be saved. And then, of course, that's very unattractive. And that's when things just fall in a heap and you're just not aligned. So until I did the work on myself, I kept attracting that same guy.
You said you wanted to be saved, or these men thought you wanted to be saved. Mm-hmm. Saved from what?
Well, saved from the big scariness of being on your own in your late 40s. And I now know that it's not scary at all. But back then I did. I mean, I'd come out of, I'd been in a relationship since I was 17. I went from my mum and dad's home to my boyfriend's house. I had a nanosecond on my own before I met my husband, and then we were together for 17 years. And when I came out of my marriage, I was excited to be alone, but I was also terrified and thought, oh, no, the thing you do now is you find your next partner. Being alone and navigating life on my own as a single mother was so terrifying to me. You know, I needed the man to come along, and then that would all just, all those hard decisions would be taken away from me. But that's not what happened. And I learnt to love the being alone bit.
It's great that you mention that, because I have watched girlfriends go through this cycle repeatedly. They've been married for a very long time. They come out of a marriage and it's like that fear of being alone, and they try desperately to just grab onto whatever's floating past. It's like a life raft. And the next man that wanders by or pays them attention, it's like they jump in.
And I've seen a lot of my girlfriends do that as well. But then, like me, most of them have also got to this point too, where they've just realised that this life is actually fantastic. We don't need a man. It'd be nice to have one, but we don't need them. We are able to financially support ourselves, emotionally support ourselves. There's just so many great things about being on your own, honestly, as you would know. Yeah, I stopped chasing that dream.
On the flip side, I guess now you can look more objectively from the outside and see why people do stay in unhappy, toxic, unhealthy marriages, because they're scared of what's on the other side.
Of course, and I do know a lot of people in those marriages, and that's their journey, whether they get to that or not, whether they have the growth in the marriage to galvanize it into something better. But for me, I knew that wasn't going to happen.
So how did you learn to save yourself then?
Well, I just had to really learn to love myself and know that I'm enough. I mean, I do know that now. It really comes down to changing things in your daily practices as well, having good routines, positive reinforcement every day to say it to yourself. It was about reconnecting with my creativity again. Half the secret of getting your mojo back in midlife is reconnecting with your creativity, because we all have it. We're born with it. We're creative beings, but it gets diminished and dwindles over time because of life.
I wonder if it might not be necessarily creativity for everyone, but it's reconnecting with something that was a passion in your past. And I know one of the things that you did mention in the article was the fear of starting over alone after a marriage, especially if you've been out of the workforce for a very long time. Mm. And something you said in that article that really, really moved me, and I'm sure resonated with a lot of people reading it, is you felt like the world had moved on without you.
Yeah, God, yeah. And I had always worked up until I had my first child. And in that 10 years of having children, when I dipped my toe back into the workforce, I really felt like such an old, redundant person. And I had just lost, touch with how things work. So I had to sort of start from scratch, and it didn't really make me happy. And only recently have I realised and had the courage to start my own business and put all my passion into that. And it doesn't feel like a job when you're doing something you really love, as the cliche goes. I would say to women out there who are struggling to go back into the workforce after a divorce or separation, I know what that's like. I feel you. And try and at least make that work something that you love.
You know, is there something in just getting out and getting busy? Even if you volunteer to work somewhere a couple of days a week, it just gets you out of the house. It gets you out of the rut. It gets you moving. It gets you connecting with other people.
I just think old ways don't open new doors. So this is our chance to have a crack at something new. So I really feel like life after divorce is the perfect time to reinvent yourself. It's like you were saying, it's a great time to become a volunteer, to do a course on a subject you've always been interested in, and just really tap into that curiosity, because that is where you can start vibrating on a different frequency and all these different things can come into your life if you allow it.
It's changing the dynamic of your purpose.
Yeah, that's right. I think the meaning of life changes with every decade. And two decades ago, for me, it was having a family and building a beautiful home life and raising children and nurturing. And now for me, it's about nurturing myself and having new adventures and really putting myself out there, making passions my priority.
And your passion is boobs.
Yeah, it is. Show us your tits. I have to say, I have a love affair with lingerie. It allows you to express a part of yourself that has nothing to do with what anyone else sees. And it's my little secret. It's decided entirely by me and it's honouring me. It really is an act of self-love to wear beautiful lingerie. And so I had an opportunity to start my own business with an amazing company, and I just felt so right. Everything in my body just said, yeah, this is what you should do. And now I get to look after women and make women feel good every day. And it's just, honestly, Sammy, no job has ever filled me up like that. No man has ever filled me up like that. It's just such a gift to have found this at this stage of my life.
I love that you say that. It really, it's given you new purpose.
Exactly. And I'm in my mid-50s. I've probably got another 10 years of working, and I'm just so thankful I found something that really gets my juices going.
Do you still believe in marriage?
I believe in a partner. I don't think I believe in living together ever again. Finding a partner at the moment isn't a priority for me, but I think down the track I would like to have someone to grow old with, yeah. My parents were together for 70 years, you know, and 70 years, like, that's just amazing. And I think I didn't really see a lot of affection when I was growing up. They weren't very tactile or demonstrative with their physical affection, but as they got older, there was hand-holding and just a new level of respect for each other. And, you know, old age is not for the faint-hearted. It's really quite scary, and it would be nice to have someone to go into that stage of life with. But, you know, never say never.
We're in this generation now where I know for you, you've got a daughter that you've actually said to, listen, I don't know that marriage is really all that.
I mean, when I was growing up, that was what we all thought was the happy ending, you know, marriage and kids. So now there's just so many different options. And I would just say to her, do what makes you happy, but don't think that marriage and having children is the ultimate, because there's so many ways to live an amazing, rich life.
You've also been a wonderful example to her, Robin, of starting over and finding your power.
I hope so. Been a few struggles along the way, but, yeah, I think they are happy to see me at this point now and really loving my life on a daily basis.
More of my chat with Robin, including some of her crazy dating stories, still to come. But if you'd like to find out more about or support her business, you can connect with Robin via Instagram. Her account is thequeenofcups64. I love that Robin calls herself the Queen of Cups. I mean, it's just perfect. She's a bra fit specialist aligned with the iconic Aussie brand Intimo. And if you'd like to support a single mum in her new business venture, you can check her out on Instagram at thequeenofcups64. Okay, so we are on a dating podcast, and I would love to talk to you a bit about dating, because I know you have some cracking stories to share. One thing you said in the article, you despair of men in our demographic. That's a big statement.
I believe that if you haven't looked after yourself, by the time you get into your 50s, everything starts to unravel, and women really do that well. We look after ourselves. So this is my problem. I find that I go on dates and I feel like I'm going pretty well at this stage of my life, and I don't meet men that are a good match for me on that level. They haven't done the work. Women do the work, men don't.
Are you talking about physically or mentally?
Both. Absolutely both. And, you know, I've got a lot to offer a guy. I can't say the same. I often find they don't look after themselves. They don't have any aspirations. They don't have any interests. They drink too much. There's a big list. Really, the men in my life that inspire me and give me hope are my gay husband and my son. And everything in between, not so great.
But I guess despite all of the dating duds, we do end up with some fabulous dating stories to share.
Yes, my dating stories are great dinner party fodder, I have to say. So I matched with a guy and he said he was a certain age. He said he was 46. I was 46 at the time too. And I traipsed down to Melbourne and we met up, and clearly he wasn't 46. And I said, "Mate, how old are you really?" And he said, "Look, I'm 57. And he said, I didn't want to put that on my profile because then a whole range of women won't click on me. But I stayed on the date, as you do, to be polite. And then I said as I left, "Thanks, that was nice to meet you, but, you know, I really don't think we're a good match." The next day I get a text saying that he'd been online and found a pub in the next suburb from me, and he's put an offer on it because he'd really love to live closer to me and can see a future. I mean, my God, the desperation. Like, couldn't he read the signs that I clearly wasn't interested in the least? And first of all, he's a big fat liar. This is the sort of stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
And you'd been on one date with him?
One date. It was like an hour. It wasn't even a real date.
It's really kind of scary when men don't get the hint. I had a horrific experience with someone I literally went on a handful of dates with, and 2 years later he still sends me messages trying to reconnect. Yeah. When I've clearly said I'm not interested.
Oh, it's totally harassment. You've got to block those ones. I had a similar guy too, and we had one date and it was very average. You know, he thought it was something else, and the next day when I told him thanks but no thanks, I got a volley of disgusting texts that went on for days until I blocked him. But then he started driving up and down my street and poking up in the supermarket where he knew I was. Like, yeah, that was harassment too. And it's not okay, it's not on, and it's really disgusting. This is why I despair of men, and men need to really do a bit of work on themselves, I think.
I'm sorry that experience happened to you. Did you go to the police?
I didn't in the end. I said, "Oh, if this happens again, I will," and it didn't happen again. You know, I really should have gone sooner, and these are the things you learn. Like, now, red flags would have been going off in the first 5 minutes and we would never have got to that point. But back then I was still in my naivety thinking, "Oh, he's just struggling with this at the moment," like making excuses like women do. The beauty of all these horror dates is that you learn so much and you'll never put up with any of that again.
Yeah, you do. You learn a lot about other people and about yourself when you're dating at this age. And one thing I've learned is I have no energy or time for mind games.
Yeah, I've had that too, and texts that were hard to decipher and analysing conversations that didn't make sense and weren't congruent with what he was saying to me otherwise. You know, it's just, but God, you learn so much.
Now, I know that you also had a pretty crazy experience with a narcissist.
Oh, yeah. That,
you learn a lot from a relationship with a narcissist.
Yeah, God, that's where I've learned the most, I think. And I can even say thank you now to that. I never thought I'd be able to do that. Look, he was a local man. I live in a small town, and I had known him from children. Our kids did sport together, but he'd never really given me the time of day. And then I did hear that he had separated from his wife, and 5 minutes later he was messaging me. God, it was textbook. It was so seductive, all the attention. red flags were going off on that first date, but I really stuffed that down and like, oh, no, but this is amazing and it's so exhilarating and he's had such an incredible life and his house is stunning, you know, all these silly things.
Can you explain what some of those red flags were?
Well, the biggest one was that he talked about himself nonstop. I just, again, excused that as him being excitable. But then in the next few dates, it didn't really change and I'd have to really just push my little bit of information to him so that at least a little bit of me was in there somehow. And, you know, it was 6 weeks of amazing five-star restaurants and penthouses and jewellery and unbelievable. Then he would just disappear. No explanations. Then he'd pop up again and say, oh, sorry, I had to deal with some family stuff. And 6 months later, and we went out for dinner on New Year's Eve, and he proposed to me. And it was such a grand proposal, and all the waiting staff at the restaurant were in on it. And, oh, I'm marrying the woman of my dreams. And honestly, it was just like a bad dream when I think back to it. But
can we just hold up? I have questions about the proposal. So yes. You were dating him for 6 months, but yep. It was a cycle of him disappearing, coming back. It was never solid.
Never.
And then on New Year's Eve, he's organised this elaborate proposal. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just a drunk spur of the moment, I've had a few to drink, hey, we should get married.
No.
It was a whole production.
Yeah, it was a very fancy restaurant. It was a bit of a production. And then the week that followed, I...
Wait, did you say yes?
I did say yes, I did. Like a maniac, I said yes.
Why did you say yes? Like in hindsight, looking back at that moment...
I was swept up in it all. What can I say? And when we were having fun, we were really having fun. It wasn't all horrible. And I guess I was just a little bit drunk and it was New Year's and this man was proposing and he was a very worldly man. And
was that in the phase of where you were still hoping to be saved?
Sure, absolutely. It really was. And, God, I would never – he wouldn't even get one date with me now. But, yeah, I was still – and I was still out to sea a bit at that stage. I was vulnerable and I said yes. And, you know, the next week I barely heard from him. And then a few days after that he said, oh, he was in love. You know, I've met this other woman.
Wait, what?
And I found out that he'd been seeing her the whole time. It's absolutely so awful and traumatic when you go through something like that. I was such a mess, really quite a mess after all of that. Anyone who's had a narcissistic experience knows exactly that kind of, that level of trauma and pain. But the growth, though, is through the roof. I mean, that's the secret sauce, I guess, that you have to take away from it all. And, you know, people were saying to me, oh, Robin, are you sure about this guy? Because you know what he's like. And I was just fobbing him all off, saying, yeah, but this is different. I mean, I was just totally swept up in it. When you get that kind of attention, it's really intense. And if you're in a little bit of a weakened state, you really can't fight it as you probably should. And I was a little bit weak and I just let it all happen. But, yeah, I'm okay now. I'm actually very thankful that it happened.
What did you learn from it?
Well, I read up a lot about narcissists and, of course, they're attracted to empaths like me. So I had to read up about that as well and what my part in how it all played out. I now know all the signs of a narcissist. I can see them at 20 paces. So there's no way that someone like that would ever get into my life ever again. Yeah, you know, I've just really learned to love myself and trust myself because we do know our gut never lies. And now I ask my gut everything now. And it tells me straight out, warts and all.
Are you dating at the moment?
No way. The excitement of my current life prohibits any thought of seeking a partner right now. I really mean that. Like I'm super filled up and that's how I'm feeling right now. And, of course, that might change next year. But right now I have no desire to get on one of those horrible dating apps. If it happened organically, that'd be great, but I'm definitely not seeking it out deliberately.
People look at you as some kind of freak if you're like, no, I'm not I'm not on every dating app. I'm not swiping madly left and right. I'm not desperate to find someone else to be in my life because it's actually really lovely the way it is. And I feel like a broken record because I do say it a lot. It frustrates me that people think people like us are freaks because we're so happy being alone.
Yeah. And it needs to be said. It needs to be shouted from mountaintops. Look, I've always loved my own company. It's how I regenerate, and I just can't get enough of it. The other night I went out to a wine bar after work on my own. I sat at the window with my delicious wine and nibblies, and I was in absolute heaven. And a couple came up and sat right next to me and said, "Oh, saw you sitting alone. Would you like some company?" And I was like, "No, I don't want company." First of all, I've come here alone by choice, so why would you be assuming that, you know, I'd want company? And this is, I guess it's just people are awkward, that it's their awkwardness with seeing someone alone that they feel they've got to go and fix it. But I see women out alone doing things on their own and I'm like, yeah, you go, like, good on you. As I said to this couple, I said, oh, I'm really enjoying my me time after my long day, but thank you. And they really looked a bit shocked and miffed that I'd rejected them.
Robin, it is such a wonderful way to end our chat with this podcast. And it reminds me of a fabulous meme that I saw on Instagram that said this: if you see a woman that has everything going for herself and you're not ready to add value to her life, just admire her from afar. Please do not interrupt her greatness.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that awesome? Like, we're doing okay. Don't interrupt my greatness. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Totally. I absolutely love that.
Unless he's a lovely chunky man, in which case he can approach you any day, right?
That would be okay. Yep, they can have a crack then.
You know, I always end my podcasts with, I hope you find what you're looking for, but it kind of doesn't feel appropriate in this case. So I think you've already found you're happy and I'm really happy for you.
Right now, yes, I would say yes to that.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. You know, I know people cringe when they hear the word, but what a journey you've been on.
I have, and it's been worth every second. Thanks, Sammy. It's been really great talking to you.
This podcast is produced and presented by me, Sammy Lucas. Audio director is the delightful Robbie Wood. You can find out more about or connect with Robin via Instagram. Her page is The Queen of Cups 64. That's The Queen of Cups 64. And you can find out more about me at my website, sammylucas.com.